it's amazing. I mean, I've witnessed it before with other people, but stuff that the Lord has been speaking to me through this, and then words that have come out tonight that may sound familiar as we go through this, and just, you know, Al's teaching on intercession, and then Rob DeMattis's, the word he gave last time and plans on giving again, is just confirmation to me what the Lord is saying. So Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to bring your word at this time, Lord, and I just ask that it would be you and not me, that it would be understandable, Lord, and that you would be glorified, and that we would learn to use the tools that you've given us and throw away those old canes. In Jesus' name, amen. I had started reading this book about a year and a half ago, and it was an interesting book. It's got an odd name. It's called Left of Bang and How the Marine Corps Combat Hunter Program Can Save Your Life. And what the book was about was teaching people how to use their awareness, to expand their awareness, to pay attention to what's going on around them, specifically in combat, but in other situations, just in everyday life also. As I was reading, they were using terms like your gut feeling or instinct, and I just felt like, no, that's not quite right. And they're giving examples of how the program has helped guys in combat to recognize ambushes, or that they would just have a feeling and then avoid a situation, and turned out that there was a IED there. And the Lord was speaking, how much more effective it would be if you could get a team of believers that could hear from the Lord and do these things. And as I'm contemplating that, he just said, well, why couldn't you reverse that thought, and how can we take what was stated in the book and use it spiritually and not just in the natural? So as I was saying, the book is how to better your situational awareness. The title Left of Bang, Bang is the event, the whatever it is, the attack, the ambush, whatever. Left of it is proactive. So we are taking positive steps before the action to better ourselves, better our situation. Right of bang is reactive. Now we're playing from behind. We're trying to catch up. We're reacting. We're not attacking the situation. The book stated how that when the enemy is playing an attack, they leave clues behind. And lots of times, if we just assume a situation or we don't have time to look, we will rush into things and not notice what's actually there. The clues are there for us to learn. So, and they've discovered that over time, just through combat missions, people will start to recognize these clues and change their behavior and how they handle situations. But unfortunately, that means that you've been in multiple dangerous situations and survived. Not that it's not bad that you survived, but you've been in multiple situations. So they started this program to train new recruits to catch them up so that they can learn from other people's experiences, so they can hit the ground already with that learning curve fixed. That way it's not all new to them as when they get into the field. One of the things, because in this situation, who they're fighting isn't wearing uniforms. And a lot of this has to help with discerning the sheep from the wolves in sheep's clothing. There are three main things that they teach in this: enhanced observation, combat tracking, combat profiling. And so I was wondering and asking the Lord, how would this look for Christians in spiritual warfare while they're walking out their sanctification? There were a lot of interesting things in the book, but there was one page that had maybe a paragraph and a half long, and it's a color code that retired Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Cooper started. He was in the Marine Corps, and he started this color code to assess where your psychological, awareness is at any given time during different stress levels, and how to help you get through those stress levels. And there's four colors. So I'm going to go through and I'm going to read his color and the definition that he gave, and then we'll share some things that the Lord showed me through these. So the first color is white. Condition white means being unprepared and unready to take lethal action. A person who is in condition white is in a low state of psychological awareness and physiological arousal. If attacked, this person will likely be the victim. This person believes that his or her personal safety is not in jeopardy and has chosen not to actively assess the surroundings for potential threats. Should a threat arise because of lack of awareness, this person would be completely unprepared, forcing them to be reactive. So, some examples of people in condition white. You're just going from point A to B, minding your own business. You're not really looking around. We've all seen people walking and texting, walking into traffic, walking into telephone poles. And that's just a really bad example. People put their earbuds in and totally blocked off to the things going on around them. They don't hear people talking or walking. They can't hear traffic. You know, they're in their own little world. And another thing is they believe that nothing could happen to them. Oh, we're here. I'm at the mall. Nothing's going to happen at the mall. I'm at Burger King. What's going to happen? And they just don't believe that there is a threat or that that threat could happen to them. Some of the things that we can recognize when people are in the spiritual condition white is, I'm saved, so I'm all set. I go to church every week. What could happen? I'm in. I was raised in the church. My parents are saved. I must be saved. And they don't take the time to realize that it needs to be their own personal walk with the Lord. So first of all, we need to understand that we are in a spiritual battle. Whether we want to believe it or not, whether we believe it can happen or not, we are in it. We don't have to believe to be in the battle. I don't have to understand or believe in gravity, but if I walk off the roof, I'm falling. I could disbelieve gravity all I want. It's going to affect me the same way, whether I believe in the effects or not. There are physical laws. There are spiritual laws. So I'm going to look at some scriptures to The first one's Matthew 10, verse 16, 22, and 26. Verse 16, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Verse 22, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures till the end will be saved." Verse 26, "Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known." On the ride here, the Lord brought to memory, specifically to that verse, I was listening to a radio show. It wasn't even a Christian radio show, a political radio show. And they had a guest on, and the whole week they had been talking about human trafficking. And they had a guest on who apparently is someone well-known in Hollywood, but he's a spirit-filled believer, but he's kind of been undercover. And the reason why is because God has given him a specific calling for human trafficking and a specific gift. And when international government goes in and tries to make raids in places in Africa, or they were talking, this instance, two things that happened in Thailand was they'd known that there was this trafficking ring, and they were having live auctions of people. And they were investigating, and they knew it was happening, and they knew when. They just couldn't find out where. They couldn't find that head guy. So because of this reputation and the gifts that the Lord has given this gentleman, this team flies him in periodically and puts him in a helicopter, and he flies over the city. And he has a team of intercessors that he says, "Okay, we're going, start praying." And as he's flying over the city, all of a sudden a building changes color, and he says, "That's where they are." An international government goes in and raids it and rescues hundreds of people. Or another thing he was talking about was they had this head guy. They knew that there was this apartments above this bar, and they knew he was in there, and they had security people in there milling around, and they couldn't find him. They couldn't see him. And so they brought this guy in, and they told him who they were looking for, and he texted his intercessors, and they said, behind the, I can't remember, blue door. And he walks into the bar, and he's staying there, looks around, sees the blue door, walks over, opens the door, sees the gentleman, closes the door, and walks out, and says he's behind the blue door. And they said, "We people in there, there is no blue door." So he walks the team back in, points to the blue door, then they see the blue door, and they arrest the gentleman. Anything that was covered, he will uncover. He will give us these spiritual gifts so we can see things that are in plain sight the enemy is trying to hide from us. He will give us eyes that we can see through those and work miracles in his name. Next verse I have is 1 Peter 5, 8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." We need to be looking, we need to be aware, we need to be looking at ourselves, looking at our situation. Because it doesn't say that the devil's going to. He says that the devil is looking to see whom he may. So that means that what I hear is that if I'm in the wrong situation, I'm offering myself up as food. If I'm aware of my surroundings, if I'm aware of my behavior, that the Lord's putting on my heart to change, then I can avoid those situations. But we need to be sober-minded. We need to take this seriously. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. This is a spiritual fight. And the Lord has given us, if we will look and search them out, the spiritual tools and the instructions on how to fight this spiritual fight. So the next color is condition yellow. So Cooper's condition yellow. Condition yellow means that a person understands that his or her life is in danger and therefore psychologically prepared to do something about it. This person is actively searching the surroundings to find the threat because he or she is in a moderate level of psychological awareness and physiological arousal. Once a person has recognized a threat, they have escalated to condition orange. So spiritual condition yellow. We now understand and are aware that this is a spiritual fight. Matthew 11:12 in the New Living Translation says, "And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and violent people are attacking it." The kingdom of, we were given the mandate to enlarge, to bring heaven on earth. We need to advance the kingdom of heaven. It's something that we have to do forcefully. No one's going to just roll over and let us take the ground for the Lord, because the enemy, he isn't willing to give anything up. So we have to forcefully fight to take the ground, to expand the heaven. And there's going to be resistance. The enemy is going to be violent and trying to stop us. So we need to activate our gifts and callings. The Holy Spirit has given us spiritual awareness. It's called discernment. And the prophetic gifts, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, visions, dreams, these are all tools that the Holy Spirit has given us that we need to be using in not a passive way. We can't just sit back and wait for it to happen. We need to aggressively seek out, what has the Lord called me to do today? Yes. What do I need? How do I need to equip myself through the gifts that the Lord has, so I can finish the job that he's called me for this season, for this moment? Luke 24:45. And he opened their understanding that they may comprehend the scriptures. Now this is when the Lord has returned and he's walking with the other two disciples after he's risen. And he's teaching and talking about himself through the scriptures. And it says he opened their understanding. So the Bible, this book, is a spiritual book. We need spiritual eyes to understand it. We need to ask for spiritual understanding so we can not just know it, not just say, well, I've read it today and I'm going to check it off my list. That's done. But so that it will soak into us, so that as we read it, it'll be in us. And then in the situation when we're attacked, it will come out of us like just as fast as pointing your finger. It'll be a natural reaction. I gave this example to the teens years ago about reading the word. The Lord gave me a vision of standing in a boxing ring with boxing gloves on, and I'm fighting the devil. And he's standing in the opposite corner with his boxing gloves on. So I get in the ring, and the bell rings, and I grab my Bible, and I've got no fingers, and I'm trying to flip through, and he comes up, and he's punching me in the face, and I can't find the thing because I can't manipulate it with my gloves on, and my eyes swelling. Now when I do find it, I can't read. Boxers don't train when they get in the ring. They're training all the time. They're training months, sometimes years in advance for a fight. So we need to be in training. I can't tell you when or where, but I can guarantee the fight's coming. An attack is coming. As we learn to grow and open our spiritual awareness, we will be able to narrow down when and where the fight's coming. We still may be surprised, but the better we're prepared, the better we can deal with that surprise. And the thing I do know is that the safest place to be during an attack is pressing in and walking with the Lord. So Cooper's condition orange. Condition orange is the mindset in which a person is focused on a specific threat and is prepared to take action against that threat. A person is actually in a lower state of psychological awareness than in condition yellow, but in a higher state of physiological arousal. This person has begun to create a plan on how to deal with that threat. The degree of awareness a Marine has here is less than condition yellow because the person's attention is now focused on that specific threat. Spiritual condition yellow. Orange, sorry. So now we are receiving and actively using the information and the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us. We're walking out and walking in the spiritual gifts. We are also submitted to the authority we're under and listening to wise counsel. We could be very ineffective. The military is very ineffective. People just decided, I'm going over here today because I think the enemy's over there. And if they're not under authority, they are ineffective or putting themselves or others in danger because now they have to go get rescued if they survive. So we need to be wise and listen to the counsel of the people we're under authority. We need to pray and ask the Lord who to ask to be intercessors in our lives. You know, you don't need a big ministry to ask for intercessors. Because we're all called to ministry, whether it's at your school, on your team, at your work. And we've all faced things that are directly from the pit of hell. So why wouldn't we get the spiritual help and the backing we need? So we need to be wise and ask the Lord who we should approach about being intercessors for us. Sometimes it's important to have accountability partners. I know in the men's group when we went through and signed the contracts for, I lost the name of it, the Courageous, part of that was saying, will you hold me accountable to be true to the Lord and true to my wife and my children? So, we need to be wise on who we ask because we need someone that will hear from the Lord and hold us to that standard. So we're taking positive action. We're being proactive. And some of the ways we can be proactive is seek out deliverance or inner healing, the breaking of generational curses, the breaking of ungodly soul ties. The breaking and repenting of ungodly beliefs, prayer walks around our home or our property, or if we're living somewhere that isn't ours, where we stay, if it's an apartment or a room. Sometimes the Lord will put it on your heart to stake out your property. But these are positive, proactive steps to take. And lots of times, as we're starting to walk out this and being more proactive and walking out our sanctification, the Holy Spirit is going to put a little pressure on us, and he's going to start to narrow the road. What I could do yesterday, I may not be able to do today. And that's in all things. I mean, some people give up TV altogether. Some people, well, I can't watch this type of movie anymore. Sometimes it's the books I read or the magazines I look at, the videos I watch, the music I listen to, the conversations I have when I'm with my friends. I can't tell that joke anymore. It's still funny, but it's wrong. So I can't tell it. Sometimes it's the food we eat or what we drink we need to stop, or at least control the amount. It could be good things. It could be exercise or anything, but even good things, if they're done out of balance, they're harmful. We could turn good things into idols. So just because it's a good thing and the Lord starts tapping you and says, you need to cut that out or slow it down, but this is a good thing, it's because that we may be putting it in the wrong place in the priority list. So we need to be aware of that. Another thing is, now that we're in condition orange and we're seeing the threat, we are starting to prepare more vigorously for the fight. We're starting to take these proactive steps. But as we're looking at one thing and focusing on that, we can get tunnel vision. And this is where it reminds us that it's very important to have our prayer partner or our intercessor or someone to help us with accountability. Even in the military, you think of the most lonely position that would be used are snipers, and even they go with a spotter. They still go 2x2. So we'll look at Mark 6, verse 7. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out 2x2 and gave them power over unclean spirits. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if one falls, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a three-cord cord is not quickly broken. And Proverbs 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We are always stronger together than we are as an individual. The Lord is the third person in the threefold cord. He promises that if two or more of us are gathered, he's in our presence. And it also says that unity demands a blessing. He has promised to join us in the endeavor. So who do we pick as a partner? If we're married, that's easy. We pick our spouse. Close family members. If we are single, it's not as important as with intercessors, but with accountability or prayer partners, strongly recommend same sex person to be your prayer partner. You don't want to ever put yourself in a position to compromise, and you want to avoid the appearance of evil. You want to pick someone that you know hears from the Lord. And like we said, some people have a stronger gift of intercession or prophetic gifts that we can learn from and grow in, and we trust their hearing from the Lord. And it's not necessarily one person to cover all the bases. Because in some situations, I may need to go to Al for accountability, where it wouldn't be proper if I went to my son or my mom. So we need to use wisdom and really hear from the Lord who we need to pick. Plus, we need to pick someone that we know we can trust, because there's going to be things that the Lord is going to have us confess that say, I'm really struggling with this and I need help. Will you please hold me accountable? And if I go to church 2 weeks later and nine people are going, hey, I heard you really fell here, huh? I can't trust that person. So now I'm not going to share. I'm going to hold those things in. And the Lord says we need to share them. We're not to hold them in. So, Cooper's condition red. Condition red is labeled the lethal mode. This is the psychological willingness to kill if circumstances warrant that action. Condition red includes being in the fight and executing the plans that were created in condition orange. This person is in a much lower state of awareness due to being focused on one specific threat and has a very high degree of physical arousal. Because of the inert risk of engaging in the fight, the person's awareness of the surroundings is further reduced as his or her mental capacity is focused on the personal challenges of survival. So, spiritual condition red. We are more focused and we are heading off the fight. We're taking the fight to the enemy. We're not sitting back and letting him come. We've made these plans and we've taken these steps in condition orange. And now here's where the rubber hits the road. I am going in. I know there's going to be a fight. But me and the Lord are undefeated. No one's ever that is walking with or in obedience in the Lord is undefeated. Now, sometimes in the natural, it may not look too good, but the Lord's ways are higher than our ways, and he's never lost. So in condition red, now because things are getting focused on, we're allowing God to put his finger on something to deal with. This is what we're going to work on today. This is this season. We need to work on this. This needs to be fixed. And it'll be for a season or a time. And then when that's dealt with, he may put his finger on something else. Okay, now it's time for this. This is the next step. We need to deal with this now. Sometimes we will go back to something that's already been visited because the first time it was visited, maybe we weren't strong enough or spiritually mature enough to deal with the whole thing. So sometimes, all right, that was good. So let's go back and dig a little deeper. Let's take another layer off that onion, because we don't want to just get the surface stuff. We want to get in deep and really deal with this. So we are actively walking out our sanctification. We're dealing with the cause, not just the effect. I keep having this happen. Well, we're not putting a Band-Aid on it. We're not just dealing with the cause. We're digging down and we're getting to the effect. We're digging down and getting to the root cause. And this is something that I thought was funny because it came up in the service today. We're not mowing the lawn to look good. We're firing up the rototiller and we're getting to the heart of the matter. Something my dad used to say all the time is, don't stop the first time you get a victory. Keep going until that thing is dead and you're standing on its neck. So now that this has been dug up and we have a tender heart and fresh dirt available, God comes in with inner healing and his love, and now where we have a struggle, now we have more fruit and better fruit. And this fruit is not just for ourselves. None of these steps are just for ourselves. They're so that we can be stronger and ready, but so that we can bless others with now the better fruit that our walk is producing, others can glean off that. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And lots of times people stop there and they'll say, well, the sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon. But that was only six. And if we know the Lord, there's a seventh. In verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So not just me, all the saints. And like I just said in the boxing thing, the example, the sword of the Spirit, the sword then, what the Romans used, was only like 2.5 feet long. That's an in-close fighting object. But you needed to really train to know how to handle it properly. It wasn't something you just pick up and use. You really had to train heavy with it. Prayer is long-distance artillery. Good example, we have had a bunch of people this year go on missions trip. And what do? We gathered up and prayed. We prayed for them. We prayed for the field they're going into. We were praying and loosing chaos on the enemy. We're praying and knocking down strongholds in the Spirit before they even get there. That way, when their time is there, it's fruitful. And they're there to do what the Lord needs to do without these other attacks. So we need to always be in prayer. And if we're not sure what to pray about, pray in the Spirit. Let the Spirit lead you in prayer. The Marine Corps, after Colonel Cooper's color codes were adopted, added a fifth. And their fifth condition was condition black. Condition black is characterized when a person's heart rate reaches a point that is counterproductive, above 175 beats per minute. And that person begins to lose awareness of their surroundings. A person in condition black can no longer cognitively process information and may completely shut down. The normal physiological state of anyone concerned about personal safety must be in condition yellow. So, as believers, how do we get into condition black? How does this happen? Well, one of the ways is be into condition white and not believe that there's a threat. So I'm not in any threat, so I'm not going to take any steps to prevent the threat. If I don't believe there's a threat, or you're full of it, there's no threat, and then I walk in and get attacked, if I'm not prepared, I'm thrown into condition black. We become overwhelmed because we didn't think it was possible. And because we're overwhelmed, we are unable to fight or process what's going on. And unfortunately, we've heard Christians say these things, going through a hard time or something tragic happens, and where was God in this? How would God ever let this happen? I feel so alone. These are statements from people that were in condition white and got attacked or something tragic happened, and because they're overwhelmed, they begin to lose faith because they weren't aware that the attacks were coming. And if they didn't believe they were coming, they weren't using the gifts that we were given to fend off or be proactive and attack the attacks before they show up. They get overwhelmed. Another way to be in condition black is if we're in condition orange. We're walking out, we're making plans, we're taking these steps. And God says, it's time to go to condition red. We need to fix this. And I really don't want to fix that. That one I kind of like. How about a different one? And God's saying, no, we need to deal this now. And that one really doesn't bother me. And we let it go. And we let it go. And we compromise. And then one day we wake up and say, how did I ever get here? Because we've walked so far away from where God had us. And we put blinders on because we reject the directions we're being asked to go, the things we're being asked to deal with. So then, nope. I'm picking that one back up and putting it in my backpack and off I go the way I want. And because we have free will, God says, well, you can be on your way. But he's always there to when we turn around. He's always right there. We don't have to run all the way back. Whenever we turn, he's right there. And we'll start from that spot and we'll move forward from there. There is a time to retreat into condition white. It's called our Sabbath rest. And sometimes we act like there were 9 commandments and a suggestion. Well, I'm really good about thou shalt not murder, but I need to work extra this weekend. I'm really good. I haven't stole anything from my neighbor. I returned his lawnmower when I was done with it. But I've got to work and I'm not going to be able to spend that time with the Lord and my family. He knows that we need the time with him in R&R, whether it's rest and relaxation, rearm and refit, or relax and rejoice in his presence. We need that intimate, personal time with him. We will burn out if we don't. And trying to hold a color condition alone is impossible. We are only going to hurt ourselves and those around us, because when they call on us to back them up, we're going to be unable to help them. I can't save you if you're drowning if I don't know how to swim. So I need to be in the color the Lord tells me to be when he tells me to be it. So if he says it's time for white and I need to step back and spend time with him, that time isn't lost, because I will be that much stronger and informed and aware and have the ability to help others when he asks me to. And neglecting that time with him is why people burn out. I just can't take this anymore. I'm done. I'm frazzled. People have mental breakdowns. They can't hold that level of pressure. They need that time away. If you'd ever seen the movie or read the book, The Band of Brothers, during the Battle of the Bulge, when they were surrounded, they would say that being in the front line was so stressful. Sometimes just being back off the line a couple hundred yards for an hour would just relieve stress, because you weren't right there in the fight. Just that little time away. So how much more is it when we're in a spiritual fight that we need that time with our Father? Another thing that I just remembered that the Lord had shown me when we read the scripture, that how things covered or unseen are going to be revealed, and we gave the example of the gift that gentleman had about helping people and rescuing people out of human trafficking. Several times, someone will be just dealing with something, and it's happened to me, and I know it's happened to others very close to me, dealing with something, and I can't figure this out, and I can't get over this. I can't figure out why I'm still struggling with this. What is the problem? And then all of a sudden, in a dream or just in a memory, will come back of something that happened to them, trauma, or something that happened when they were a child, that they've never had that memory before. But the Lord knows now is the time, so he'll give us that piece of the puzzle. So then now we can focus on that and fix that and get freedom in that area. We all have an enemy who is looking to see who he may devour. We all have struggles, downfalls, attacks, some general that we all deal with, some maybe more specific just to me or just in my situation. But the Lord has given us all the spiritual weapons to win the fight, not only for us, but those he's called us to be influencers with. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives until death. Not only do we not go into war alone, but we need to give testimony and share our victories. Yes. We need to teach each other and help build faith. We need to be prepared not only for our own well-being, but to stand with, watch over those that the Lord has given us, our spouses, our families, our neighborhoods, our schools, our work, our teams, friends, the government, and his church. We all have some influence somewhere. It may not be at higher levels or in a broad scope, but we all are called to watch over someone at some time. As we look back at Matthew 10, verse 16, we're reminded that we've been sheep sent out among wolves, but that we serve the good shepherd. Yeah. And at times, we're going to be called to be his sheepdogs, to help others and protect the flock.
always enjoy hearing what the Lord's put on Alan's heart. So where are you? White, yellow, orange, red? Hopefully not black. I don't see anybody passing out because their heart's beating too fast. It's a cycle. We coined a phrase in Colombia last week. There's only one thing in life etched in stone, the Ten Commandments. Everything else changes. Right? We're going in an hour. So what stage is that? Yellow? Maybe orange? Allow Holy Spirit to lead you where you need to be. We were ministering someplace last week. I can't remember where. There were many places. And it was that Sunday evening meeting. And I told him it's okay to be frightened. It's okay to be startled. But it's not okay to embrace fear. You can be scared. You can be startled, which puts you in condition yellow or orange. But if you embrace fear, the enemy will drag you to condition black. You have his perfect love. And that will always cast out the enemy's primary weapon, and that is fear. Father, I thank you that you know the beginning and the end of every matter and every step in between. And Lord, I ask that you would mature each and every one of us in your word, so that your enemy would never surprise us. Your enemy would never be able to take us off the path that you have for us. And Lord, that your Spirit would always keep us in the fullness of your time in the places where you call us to walk. Father, I thank you that you give gifts to each of your sons and daughters and to everyone that you've created. Show us how to use our gifts together so that no one will be caught off unaware and dragged off by your enemy. Lord, we give you our heart and we ask you to fill it with more of your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed week. I love you all.